Welcome to the Blood Cancer Experience, a podcast by the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society of Canada. This podcast connects people affected by a blood cancer to resources that inform, support, educate, and empower. When it comes to cancer, it's hard to navigate the unknown, and there are no easy answers. We're here to bring you the information you need to help make sense of every step of the blood cancer experience. My name is Montana Skirka, and I will be your host for today's episode. As a survivor of childhood leukemia, I am passionate about guiding others on their health journey as an integrative wellness educator. I work with individuals of all ages, teaching yoga and meditation, leading wellness workshops, and podcasting, writing, and speaking out about the importance of a holistic approach to physical and mental health challenges. Today on the show, I am talking to Michael Wark. Michael Wark is an avid blogger, a journeyman carpenter by trade, and a fan of all things Star Wars and Harry Potter. As an adolescent young adult blood cancer survivor and thriver, he was diagnosed with acute myeloid leukemia in June 2018 and has been in full remission since January 2019. He hails from Red Deer, Alberta, by way of Australia, and is passionate about connecting with and supporting fellow young adult cancer patients across the country. Thank you so much, Mike, for taking the time to talk to me today.
Hey, Montana. Thanks for having me. It's great to be here.
It's really, really lovely to have you. So, Mike, I know that you were 27, a healthy 27-year-old, just kind of starting your adult life when this diagnosis hit you. Can you kind of describe what your life was like and how that diagnosis affected you?
Yeah. Where to begin? First off, I have to say the diagnosis hit me right out of the blue. I had spent, I would say, the better part of my adult life up until that point, going through school, working towards those milestones that we all try to get towards as we're entering into what it means to really just become an adult. I spent a number of years going through different programs, university. I followed it up with a trade ticket in carpentry. I was just beginning to launch my career into construction and project management. I was 5 years married to the love of my life, my best friend, Loren. And we were just starting to think about starting a family of our own. And then bam, summer rolls around, and next thing you know, I'm lying in a hospital bed with a blood cancer diagnosis. It was kind of a big shakeup, to tell you the truth.
And how did that affect you in that moment? What were you thinking? What were you feeling?
I recall, just going back on the experience a little bit, the first time that cancer really crossed my mind, that this could really be something serious, because in the beginning stages, I thought maybe it was just a bad cold, or maybe it was a medication imbalance, which was causing me to feel so tired all the time, and these other symptoms that wouldn't go away. After about 10 days of experiencing cold-like symptoms that just wouldn't quit, my wife convinced me to go into the local emergency department. And it didn't take me long to get admitted there, and I saw a specialist in the ER who started filling me up, and he says, your spleen is enlarged. That's a common early warning sign of leukemia. And we were like, whoa, just take a step back there for a second. What do you mean leukemia? That's cancer, right? And all of a sudden it was like, you know, the lights just suddenly turned on, and we began this roller coaster of what would be for the next 7 months out of that point. Basically, for Lorraine and I, having our world turned upside down, and something of a crash course in blood cancer treatment right off the bat. So it was very much a mind-blowing experience, so to say. And unfortunately, I don't mean that in a good way, as much as I would like to.
For sure. No, I can't even imagine. And I noticed that you had started a blog pretty soon after you were diagnosed with leukemia. So I wondered kind of what prompted that and how you decided to start that blog.
Yeah.
Just tell everyone upright.
Yeah, of course. To tell you the truth, I think the blog kind of began as primarily as a, a, just as a communication device. We had started out, we had a lot of people to keep in the loop, a lot of people who were concerned and interested in what were going on. And I would, in the very early days, I myself and Loren started blasting out messages on Facebook to people, telling them what was going on. A group chat with 100 people in it gets a little bit chaotic. So we decided to switch to a different medium and started the blog instead. Part of that, I think, came back to some personal history. When I was a teenager, my father was diagnosed with cancer, and him and my mother recorded my dad's journey with cancer through a blog as well. And so that, I think, and just being able to document that and bring other people in the journey from a very early stage became something that was very therapeutic for me. Like I said, it began as a primarily utility-based. It's just a way to kind of get the message out there, keep people informed of what was going on, try to hopefully inject a little bit of positivity and my own personal thoughts on what we were going through, because we knew it was going to be a bit of a roller coaster of an experience and didn't really know what was happening as it was going on. But as time went on, I found the act of writing out the somewhat public journal of my experience going through treatment to be very therapeutic. It was something that allowed other people some insight into what it's like to be a firsthand cancer patient, and also allowed me to get a lot of it off my chest. And the encouragement and feedback that I received through the blog was really uplifting for me as I was going through it.
Absolutely. I know for me as well. I mean, I was so young when I was diagnosed, and it's interesting how telecommunications technology has transformed since that time. But the truth is, I didn't really have a lot of places to connect with other people online or to talk. I mean, at that point, I was so young, but even just post that diagnosis, because we know that the healing journey is a long one, potentially. And I think that it can be so healing, especially for me, speaking out and writing it out now about my experience. And I think that that's something that's really important I think people don't realize how much therapeutic benefit you get from sharing and then from hearing from other people and connecting on that level.
Yeah, definitely so. I think it's kind of a personal thing how much someone decides to share, especially publicly, about their journey, because it varies for so many people, right? For me personally, I'm something of an extrovert. I deal with my feelings by getting them off my chest and talking about them. Sometimes that makes people a little uncomfortable, but it is who I am. It's definitely been a big part of my healing journey going through this. I recognize that's not the case for everybody. Some people like to keep things a bit closer to the chest. And that's a decision everybody makes, especially going through cancer, about how much you want to share on a public level, because there are a lot of implications to that too. In my particular case, I've been open from the very beginning about what I was going through. I don't tend to hold much back, but I do recognize as well, I mean, that can have an impact on how you are perceived as well, depending on what it is you decide to share. Even something as simple as, say, going in for a job interview and maybe your future employer takes a look at your Facebook page or your blog and all of a sudden there's this information which is outside of your control, and someone can take that and make of it what you will. So that could be a little bit of a scary thing too.
Definitely. I completely agree. Actually, I think that introvert/extrovert thing is really interesting, because I too am an extrovert, and I found it a very lonely experience going through my health challenges over the years, because I wanted to talk to people who I felt could relate in some way. I wanted to be like, hey, I feel this. Is this normal? You know? And I think that as much as I had family and friends around and I was so grateful for them, there was something that felt very alienating and isolating about the experience. And I think part of it actually comes down to how you're perceived as well. Like, I think talking about that is interesting too, because what I noticed is when I started sharing, people would be like, oh my God, I'm so sorry you went through that. Or, are you okay? And I was like, I don't really want to be pitied. You know, like, I think feeling like pitied can also feel kind of a strange experience. I mean, I think when you're going through it, you're like, hey, I need help. That's one thing, for people to be like, I'm so sorry, their condolences. But after, when I'm trying to share stories of strength and hope, and I think sometimes people just perceive that as like, oh my God, I'm so sorry you went through that. And it's like, no, like, I'm a survivor, you know? And so I think the way that we're perceived is also an interesting conversation in how we share and how it's perceived by others.
There is just so much that we could go into with that last comment that you made on that. That self-identity piece and the whole thing about pity Yeah, definitely a big part of my story too, in being public with what I was going through. I think that was probably one of my greatest fears, is that people would suddenly think of me of, oh, it's Mike, the guy who got cancer, and his life has been turned upside down, and he's not the same guy he used to be before. So we need to sympathize or pity him. And that's, I don't think that's what anybody wants. I totally agree with you when it comes to feeling isolated, like other people just don't get it. Because I think the truth is that as much as our friends and our family and the people who are acquainted with our story wants to understand, there's no possible way that you can know what it's like to go through that experience if you have not walked in those shoes yourself. Not truly. People come alongside and they do the best they can. And you got to give them credit for that. But at the end of the day, until you know what it's like to have a central line implanted in your chest or feel the nauseous effects of chemo or, you know, be standing over a toilet bowl for a couple hours throwing up, and that's just the physical side, never mind the mental side, unfortunately, it's really hard for people to understand. And that is why, for me, especially in my post-treatment days now, having avenues to be able to connect with other young adult survivors who have been through the same or a similar experience has been really therapeutic, and finding ways to give back and empathize on a very real level with those individuals has been such a big part of my story.
I definitely agree with everything you said. I think it took me a long time to really understand that. I'm still trying to understand a lot of these things, you know, and I know that one person in particular that was very supportive and important for you in your life and through your journey is your wife. And so I would love to hear a little bit about, you know, how important that support was. And also what I noticed, which was very interesting in your blog, is that you say our cancer journey, like you include her in that. And I think that that's very interesting because maybe you can talk a little bit about her experience and how this affected her as well.
Yeah, definitely. So I would love to talk about that. So my wife, Lauren, to give you a little bit of context, at the time that I was diagnosed, we had been together for 9 years, married for five of those, had both spent a good portion of our 20s working through different schooling programs and had really just been focusing on launching our careers. We had moved back to Red Deer after both doing university and college in Ontario to be closer to her family back here. And like I said in the beginning of my intro, we were both just really getting ready to launch the next stage of our lives when this diagnosis hit. But I am so just incredibly thankful. I will always be grateful to her for being with me during those toughest days of my life when I was going through treatment. There was never any question in her mind that she was going to be there every day, every step of the way, even enduring the trauma and the pain of taking on my diagnosis for herself. Through that, she put her job on hold, moved to Calgary for 7 months with me. We lived out of my mom's house during that time, which was not an easy experience for anybody who knows what it's like to move back in with their in-laws once again. And just, you know, I will always be inspired by the faithfulness and loyalty that she had, being willing to do that and to put everything on hold for my benefit. And I think one thing that doesn't get talked about enough in the survivor's story is just what an important role their supporters and caregivers play, especially spouses or close loved ones who come alongside patients who are going through their treatments. Because honestly, I don't really think I could have done it without her. I could have, of course, but it would have been much more lonely. It would have been a lot harder. I think it would have taken me a lot longer to get to where I am now with a place of acceptance over what I went through. Just like for patients on the caregivers and supporters, going through the traumatic experience of cancer, especially as a young adult, is going to leave scars. It's going to definitely leave some mental trauma that's going to take some time to process. And that's definitely been the case for both Loren and I. But the biggest thing that I'm always going to be grateful for to her is that she was really willing to just put everything on hold and to be with me every day that I was going through treatments. When we got married, it was coming up on 8 years ago now, I think we were a little bit naive, like most young couples are. When you stand at the altar and you say those words, for better or for worse, in sickness and in health, because you don't really think about what sickness and in health means until you're confronted with something like a life-threatening illness, and one of you is all of a sudden fighting for their lives. And what does that really mean to stand with a person through that? I'll tell you, when it comes to testing a relationship, that's a trial by fire. But I'm very thankful to say that we're stronger now than we ever were before as a result of going through that experience.
Wow. And it's really like, it's really touching. I mean, to just truly know, to have this test and to say, wow, like our love can withstand anything and we are truly here for each other. It's such a beautiful gift. I think that often in our society, there's this idea of individualism and of we can do it all on our own and we don't need anyone. And the truth is that we are social creatures and we rely on others. I think that for people going through cancer or other health crises, often it's very difficult to reach out and to say, actually, I do need help. And I think it's really important to acknowledge, like you said, like you don't know how you would have gone through without your wife. I certainly could not have gone through without my parents leaving their jobs, staying with me every second of the day. And I think, yeah, I just think to honor, to take a moment to sort of just like honor our support systems and also acknowledge that they're going through their own trauma in supporting us. And often they don't necessarily know who they can reach out to because they're like, I don't want to complain. Like, I'm not the one going through it. But the truth is that they are in a different way. And like, it's important for them to also get support, you know? So it's like, we all need to support each other. I mean, was she supported through that?
I think she was. I think, to be honest, the resources which were available to me as the person going through cancer, there was a lot more focus upon that. But along the way, we had incredible support from our friends, our family. Her parents would drive down from Red Deer almost every weekend to come visit us. On occasion, she was able to make it back home once again for a little bit of a mental break, which I'm really thankful that she had the opportunity for. I did my best, of course, going through treatments to, you know, for the both of us to try and hold each other up. But there's just so much that happens when you go through treatment. You kind of enter survival mode and everything else gets put on the back burner in a sense. I'm not going to lie. It was a difficult time on both of our relationship going through that because of the whirlwind of everything that was happening, especially in those early days. And we were very fortunate to have access to resources. Both through the cancer center, we were able to see a psychologist together who we've continued to maintain contact with, and then just other great resources. For example, we got involved with Wellspring Calgary, which is a really fantastic organization that provides support for cancer patients and their supporters. And so having the opportunity to do things like yoga together or art classes or support groups where we could get together and talk with other cancer patients and survivors who'd gone through that experience together provided a really great source of support for the both of us. But I definitely think that one of the things which is lacking when it comes to the comprehensive experience of supporting cancer patients and survivors is enough access to resources for those who are the immediate caregivers of those going through cancer.
Yeah, I mean, I don't even think that the caregivers recognize that they're allowed to seek support, right? And I think that you're touching on something that is very, very important and near and dear to my heart, which is the mental health impact of these illnesses that certainly in my case was not addressed. It's really great to know that was sort of part of your care, and it's more and more being acknowledged that our brains are connected to our bodies and that dealing with this is of course going to affect our mental health. And that's an important part of recovery. So I would love to hear a little bit more about that, like how it affected you mentally going through this.
Great question. To be honest, I look back on it now and I take a look through some of those early blog posts that I put up when I was going through treatment. And I did the best that I could at the time to try and process it. But to be honest, your brain enters a survival mode. And it's not really until a lot later, at least in my case, it was, that you really have time to kind of process what you went through. And it's like, holy crap, I just survived a life-threatening illness. There are all these implications, and I'm still working through a lot of what I went through. So the mental side is huge. It really can't be separated from the physical side because our brains and our bodies, as you said, are so interconnected. And especially when you're a young adult, there are so many things that you're focused upon. It's hard enough as a young adult to work out what's going on in your own head and make sense of your own self-identity, much less with the complication of a cancer diagnosis in there as well. One of the things that I've come to realize, and I'm just over 2 years in remission from what I've been through now, is that it takes a lot longer to heal mentally from the experience of going through cancer than it does physically. And that's why it's so important to have access to resources and to connect with other people who know what it's like to go through that experience. It takes time, it takes effort, it takes a willingness to do the hard work in processing what it is that you go through and how your life has changed. And it doesn't happen overnight, but I'm really fortunate to be able to say that it is possible. And if I can just offer some support and encouragement to others who are going through either a blood cancer or another type of cancer diagnosis, finding a way through the trauma of what you've been through is definitely something that can happen and will happen if you're willing to reach out and get the support that you need.
Yes. Yes to every word you said. I think that there's something interesting that happens where we understand that it's trauma, right? But there's not a lot of emphasis put on that. It's like, oh, people that go to war face trauma, of course. And there's certain things where it's like, oh, people can experience PTSD from certain things. And for some reason, going through these health experiences aren't necessarily placed in that box. At least from my experience, like I was never told. It's almost like I never felt like I was allowed or given permission to say, hey, you went through a trauma and it's okay that it's affected you. And I think, I mean, you brought up so many important things that I want to touch on. The first is that I think when you go through a crisis, like you said, you enter survival mode. It's like, how do I get through the next second? How do I face this? Like, there's no part of your brain that can go anywhere else. It's really just about getting through. From moment to moment, you don't even know what's going to happen tomorrow at that point. I think what's really interesting, something that happens, I think, particularly when you're younger. So for me, I was 7, and I truly feel like my body was sort of, I mean, when you're 7, that's when you're figuring out that you're a human separate from your family, right? And so I feel like physiologically, I just got stuck in survival mode. Like I literally thought that that was the way to live. And it's taken me, and because I sort of faced a lot of health challenges throughout my life since that time, I was living in survival mode and I was just stuck in survival mode. And I think that's why mentally I couldn't face it anymore because I think there was part of my brain that was still felt like I was dealing with cancer, you know? Because when you're dealing with cancer, everyone treats you like it's a life or death experience. And then you enter the real world and it's like, you still have that feeling. What if it comes back? You know, life is so precious. Life is so fragile. This thing hit you out of nowhere. Like you just are realizing how uncertain life is for everyone. But like, we can't live our whole lives in survival mode, right? So learning how to shift from survival mode to thriving mode and to actually living mode, I think is such a difficult process. It's in a process that happens for me. I mean, now still, you know, this was a long time ago, but I'm still processing this experience and learning how to shift from that survival mode to living mode. So I think that that's really important for people to recognize.
Absolutely. There's a lot of things which you just touched on there, which I would love to go into. But first off, speaking about trauma, I think there's a lot of misconceptions attached to what exactly it means to go through trauma. And you brought up the example of PTSD and say a soldier going off to war and how that might be looked upon as a different experience of trauma than that of going through cancer. But the truth of it is that any time we go through trauma and enter into that survival mode, be it going off to war or starting chemo, I think there's a certain level of grief which is attached to it, which takes time to process. And we typically think of grief as intimately attached with death, But that doesn't necessarily have to be the case. Grief is simply the loss of anything in our lives that we need time to process. So, you know, in my particular case, that was a loss of potential future opportunities. That was a loss of time. That was having to move away from home. That was maybe not knowing if I was going to be able to have kids because of a treatment I went through. All of that stuff is attached to the mental side of going through cancer, and it takes time to process. And like you were saying about your own experience, Montana, you know, despite the fact that you went through it at a young age, we say that time heals all wounds, and to a certain extent, I believe that is true. But oftentimes, maybe what we forget is that it takes more than just time in order to do that. We need to put in the effort to process what we've been through. And if we don't have a way to be able to do that, be it talking with somebody else about the experience, processing it internally, if we don't have a way to find sort of some sense of deeper meaning to what we went through, then it's just not going to go away on its own, which is really a big realization. It definitely was for me, which is why I'm so thankful to have access to the support that I've been able to in being able to process this.
Definitely. And I think if the support isn't naturally given, we live in an age, thankfully, where there are resources available. And sometimes it takes a little bit of digging and navigating on your own, because I think that when the doctors give you that diagnosis of cured, it's like this incredible relief and beautiful moment of happiness and, you know, just feeling like, okay, we did this. But it doesn't mean that your experience is over or that your life just goes back to whatever normal means or whatever it was prior. Like, I think that we both feel like this experience completely changed our lives, and that's okay. It doesn't mean that we're victims. It just means that this was an experience we went through. And in that experience, like, we learned things. And I would love to hear a little bit about kind of what you feel like you've learned through this experience.
Yeah, I'd love to talk about that. As you know, when I first started my treatment, I started up a blog, which I somewhat humorously called The Hiccup, because we had meant, metaphorically speaking, my wife and I, that the experience of going through cancer would be nothing more than a metaphorical hiccup, a bump in the road in the grand scheme of life. Looking back on it now, I think that was maybe a bit naive optimism, because there was no way we could have known what was really about to change in our lives going through the experience of going through cancer at age 27 and everything that was going to come with it, especially the time that would it take to process it. And you're right, my life is not the same now as it was even 3 years ago before I went through this experience. But in spite of that, there have been so many countless silver linings, little blessings that have come out of this experience that I am incredibly grateful for. To name a few, I've met some really amazing people through the support networks, which I've been able to get attached to going through my cancer. I've made just some incredible friendships with people who are able to cut through, you know, just the small talk that we tend to get so wrapped up in our daily conversations, because they understand what it's like to go through something like the experience of cancer, and something about that just allows you to get to a deep level with people pretty fast. And that's something really special. Another huge blessing I recently had was the ability to connect with my stem cell donor. I went through a stem cell transplant in order to put me into full remission, which required a genetically matched unrelated donor. And very thankfully, my medical team was able to find one for me who perfectly matched my DNA. And for a long time, I had absolutely no idea who they were. I just knew that she was female, she was in her 20s, and she had a different blood type than mine. And my blood type would eventually change to hers as a result of a transplant. And so recently, just this past November, I was able to find out who she was. And we've actually began a really special friendship, primarily online. I hope to meet her one day. She's a young woman who lives in Germany. She's about my age. And it's just been really incredible to be able to get to know this genetic twin of mine who happened to save my life and was willing to donate her stem cells.
That just gave me goosebumps. That's, speaking of special bonds, I mean, that's so incredible. What did it feel like when you finally were able to meet her?
It was kind of mind-blowing, to tell you the truth. I mean, ever since the very beginning, when I first found out we had a matched donor on board, I was really curious. I knew that they needed to be a pretty close match, or if possible, a perfect match to my DNA in order for the transplant to work. I was really curious about, all right, who is this other person who happens to match my DNA? But because of the regulations in place, I couldn't find out who they were for a couple of years. I had to wait 2 years post-transplant. And so as we were getting close to that point, I sent away some consent forms to release my contact information and hoped that my donor would do the same. I had no idea whether they would or not, but I hoped and prayed for it. And actually, coincidentally, on my 30th birthday, I got a call from Canadian Blood Services that they had the information on my donor. So I remember I was at work at the time. I was having lunch with a coworker, and all of a sudden I had this name and a location and contact details. Even just to be able to say, I know her name. I know where she is. She's in Germany. It was absolutely incredible. So at first I wanted to get in contact right away, of course. I wanted to send her an email, but I thought, we've waited 2 years. Maybe that's not quite special enough. So Lorraine convinced me to write her a letter. We sent it away with some pictures from how I was doing now and this great shot we have of me holding a bag of stem cells about to receive a transfusion. And I was a little frustrated because we were tracking it online and it looked like it was stuck in mail purgatory for about 5 weeks in a sorting depot in Frankfurt. But eventually I made it there and she wrote me back this incredible letter as well and just explained about what inspired her to donate and how she had also been really curious about who I was. And we've just been able to establish this really cool friendship as a result of that. And I really hope to be able to meet her one day.
That is a very special 30th birthday present.
No kidding.
I don't know if you can get better than that. And you know, it just makes me think about, we're living in a particularly strange time, right? And there's a lot of negativity that we experience and we think about and that we're facing. And I think to just remember like the goodness of the human spirit, you know, and how important it is and how we can make a difference in someone's life by doing something like donating blood. I think, again, back to the being victim and being pitied, it's like sometimes we can feel like that we don't have a lot of agency in our lives. And I know, especially now for everyone, there is that feeling of lack of agency. And I think what your story illustrates is how we can affect the lives of others, you know, and there are always things that we can do that can just make someone feel better or literally give your blood and save someone's life. And that we're just much more powerful and strong and resilient than we ever recognize.
Yes, without question. There is always something you can do. And as you said, positivity is such an important thing to recognize when you're going through the experience of cancer. I don't know the stats. I can't quote the research for you, but I know from my own personal experience, doing what you can every day to focus on an attitude of, I'm going to get through this. This is not the end of my life. Things will continue to go on. There are better days ahead. And I can find joy in the present moment. I really accredit that to a huge part of why I had a successful outcome in my treatments. And that's not to say that, you know, sunshine and rainbows are going to solve all your problems. But I really do believe in the power of keeping a positive attitude towards whatever it is you're facing and that you are bigger than whatever obstacles you happen to be facing in the given moments. For me personally, my personal faith was a huge portion of that. Having something to hope for the future, having a sense that I'm just a small part in a much bigger picture and good can come out of any situation, even the experience of going through cancer. You know, I would, you know, perhaps go so far as to say maybe part of a larger plan, so to say. You know, it's a different experience for everybody, but for me, that was definitely a huge part of things. And I really accredit that with helping me to be able to process and heal from the experience.
Absolutely. I mean, I know it is different for everyone, but for me, I think that there have always been these moments during my life, you know, to be frank, like there were moments where I genuinely didn't think that I could get through what I was going through or even wanted to anymore. And there was something in me that just felt like, no, like this is part of a bigger plan. Like one day your experience will be able to help others and you will be able to share. And I know that that's my bigger picture. It doesn't mean it's everyone's, you know, whatever that means for them and whatever gives them hope is so powerful. But I think talking about faith and spirituality and finding some connection to the universe and to believing in something higher than ourselves can be so important for us during this time. And I really think it's an interesting thing for people to look into if they don't have a personal faith or spirituality and they're interested in that, to just figure out what that means for them.
Yes, without question. I think we live in an age now where it's very taboo to talk about our personal faiths and beliefs. Religion in general is, you know, it's one of those things that you're kind of taught not to bring up at dinner table conversation, kind of like sex or politics. but that being the case, I think it's such a huge part of who we are as people, being connected to a sense of something larger than ourselves. For me, it's a personal belief in God. My personal beliefs are, you know, my life purpose is to love God and to love the people around me. And I personally believe that he can use the experience of me going through cancer to affect much bigger things. It doesn't have to be an entirely negative experience. Yes, it was traumatic. Yes, it was hard. Yes, there are a lot of things which come out of it. My life might not be the same. But if I can use the experience in a way to help people around me, to show perhaps other fellow cancer patients that they're not alone through the experience and that good can come out of any situation, then that's what I'm here to do. And it's just really as simple as that in my picture. But I really think everybody needs to have, you know, some sense of something larger than just themselves attached to their worldview. I think as human beings, we're hardwired to be that way. We long for a sense of community. We long for a sense of acceptance. We long to be connected to something greater than just ourselves. And really, I think we all need to get into touch in some manner with our spirituality in that sense. It really is critical to, especially as young adults, to going through that healing process.
No, definitely. I think that something that I've recognized is that I had a lot of anger towards medical professionals for a lot of different reasons throughout my life. And part of that was, I think, that I somehow thought that they were responsible to not only be my health care providers, but also, I mean, include mental health, which was sort of absent. So that's a big source for me of just anger and frustration that I've worked through, is just, I felt the lack of attention or understanding of how it had affected me mentally and providing me resources to access that. But even more than that, I think I honestly wanted them to tell me why I should continue to fight and why I should stay alive in spite of everything I'd been through. Almost like I was looking to them as a religious figure or as a spiritual guide. And that is definitely not part of medical school, right? Or part of their agenda. And so seeking these existential answers that I think are brought up when we are faced with something that is life or death, like what is my purpose, can be really overwhelming. Especially, like you said, when you're a young adult, these are questions that we're all kind of faced with at certain times, you know? So it's like there are, maybe the doctor isn't the right person to ask. Like, they'll help you find the treatment to help your prognosis, but you have to find that meaning for yourself.
Mm-hmm. And I think that looks perhaps different for everybody. And I don't think it's a fair expectation to place on anybody, much less, you know, just our medical team in that particular case. But I can definitely understand for you, especially going through cancer treatment at a young age, how that would be a very natural thing to do, to look to this team, which is trying to keep you alive, for those larger existential answers as to why should I keep fighting? What's the point of my life? My life is now maybe very different than how I had pictured it originally. So what do I make of that? And so I don't think that's a question that any one person can answer for us. You know, I think it takes a lot of hard work and self-introspection to be able to look into yourself and figure out what those answers are for you. For me, I find that larger purpose within my faith, in a belief that I'm here for a reason, and whatever my experiences are going through, if I can use them to help the people around me, then that gives a greater sense and a greater sense of meaning to what it is that I've been through with my cancer. But I think everybody has to find that for themselves. I found something that works really well for me. It's certainly not my place to try and push my beliefs on anybody else, but if we're able to have a genuine, honest, open conversation like you and I are doing right now, where something like that comes up, and you know, I consider it a real privilege to be able to talk to you right now and answer questions from you on what my experience with my faith and spirituality has been. And if that probes you or others to go out and seek that for themselves, then I see that as a very good thing.
Absolutely. And I think that both of us, like you said, have maybe found it in similar paths or different paths. For me, like, I was raised Jewish and Judaism has always provided me with, like, I mean, I think I'm really thankful that my family and my community always inspired me and encouraged me to figure out what that means for myself. And so rediscovering what my faith means and finding it through Jewish teachings, but also through yoga and meditation and, like, genuinely just continuing to rediscover it for myself has been, honestly, like, now that I took that power away from doctors who never wanted it in the first place, it's like so fun and exciting for me, you know, to continue on that path. So yeah, I think it's an ongoing journey and discussion, which is wonderful, because ultimately that's what life is about, right? Is learning and discovering and facing challenges and allowing them to work through us. And also, I mean, when we're talking about positivity and gifts and blessings, I also want to, like, bring back that grief piece, right? That it's going to take time to find the silver linings. And it's okay if right now you're, like, not feeling any silver linings. That's okay. And it's only when we go through the grieving process can we start to be like, oh, okay, maybe I see a gift here. I know that for me, like, if anyone told me to find gratitude in anything a few years ago, I would have been very frustrated with them. So it's like, you can feel gratitude and feel grief and feel anger and feel hope somehow all at the same time.
Yes, our emotions are not black and white. We oftentimes are a blend. There's a ton of different things going through our heads at the same time, especially when we're dealing with something as traumatic as the experience of young adult cancer. And you're totally right. I think if somebody had come to me, in fact, I do remember people coming to me and saying, oh, you just got to think positive. You just got to believe in the right things. You know, when I was in those early stages and just trying to make sense of what I was going through, I probably would have wanted to put their head through a wall. And so it takes time to process that. And it's okay when you're going through this experience to not have it all figured out. Nobody has it all figured out. It takes time. It takes effort. I'm very grateful in my experience that I have had the opportunity to be able to process what I've been through. And it's a continual effort. I definitely have my off days, just like anybody else when I'm going through this. There are some times when I feel like, oh man, my life is just not really where I pictured it to be right now. But that's okay. Right. And I think the important thing is recognizing for ourselves that we as human beings are on a continual path of growth. And whatever the experience we're going through, we can always find lessons to pull out of it for good. Even in those hard times, one of the things which I think back on and remember is when I was a kid, I loved reading Dr. Seuss books. And there's this great book, I think it should be prerequisite reading for anybody graduating from university or college, called Oh, the Places You'll Go. And in one of those things, Dr. Seuss talks about the experience of being in a slump and how it's really hard to unslump yourself. Cancer is a slump. And mentally pulling yourself out of that experience, whatever it is you're going through, that's not something that just happens overnight. It takes effort. It takes work. It's okay to feel frustrated, angry, upset, sad over what you're going through, because the truth is your life has changed. And those are perfectly legitimate, real emotions. I think if anything, as much as I believe in the power of positivity, as much as I believe that there's a greater picture to be seen in that, it takes time and it's not going to happen overnight. So if you are a cancer patient going through that and you're just not feeling it, that's totally okay. But I do want to encourage you that if you're willing to put the effort in, you can get there. It will come. Take the time you need to process what you're going through, but don't dwell on it. Don't wallow in self-pity, because that's not going to do yourself or anybody else any good. But, you know, in spite of that, it is possible to unslump yourself. It is possible. A big part of that, of course, is reaching out and accepting help, which I believe in our society is something that we're programmed not to do, because we're so focused on self-sufficiency and independence. But the truth is we all need it. We need each other. We're social creatures by nature. And it's just such a big part of getting through this experience and learning not just to survive, but to thrive through it. is reaching out and being in touch with the people around us. And I honestly believe that out of that, we can all come out stronger from the experience of going through something like cancer.
Thank you so much, Mike, for taking the time to talk to me today. I really appreciate it.
Montana, it's been a pleasure. Thank you for having me on the show.
If listeners have any questions about caregiving for someone with a blood cancer or need support navigating your experience, I encourage you to connect with the community services manager in your region. Visit bloodcancers.ca to connect with us. Thank you to TELUS Friendly Future Foundation for generously sponsoring today's episode. Until next time, stay well.
Thank you for listening to the Blood Cancer Experience podcast series by the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society of Canada. You can find us wherever you access your favorite podcasts, so be sure to subscribe and leave us a review. If you have a great idea for the show, we'd love to hear from you. Send us an email with your comments or suggestions at canadainfo@lls.org. The Leukemia and Lymphoma Society of Canada is dedicated to funding cutting-edge research and supporting people affected by blood cancers. To learn more and access resources, including fact sheets, booklets, and webcasts, visit bloodcancers.ca.